I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Renger, filling in for Mark Reardon. It's always a pleasure to be with you. You can find me online, Ryan Renger, on Facebook and Twitter. Joining us now is former Trump-Pence EPA transition team member and founder of JunkScience.com, Steve Malloy. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
You're also with the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. So we've been seeing some hurricanes, and we've seen some pretty devastating ones hit the South. So does that mean we have to give Al Gore and John Kerry a blank check and give them whatever they want to fix this? Is that what we should be doing?
No, absolutely not. You know, so these things have happened before. They're going to happen again. You know, the Tampa area, for example, has not really been hit by a hurricane in 100 years, but it was hit 100 years ago in 1921, before that, 1841. So these things happen. They're going to happen again in the future. There is no trend in over the last 120 years of landfalling hurricanes in Florida. There's no trend really between hurricanes and emissions at all. And then this is all sort of tied into a neat bow by the fact that, you know, these hurricanes, when they get into the Gulf, they draw their energy out of the water, the warm water of the Gulf of Mexico. But it's physically impossible for the atmosphere and emissions to warm that water. So the whole climate aspect to hurricanes is just not there. And in fact, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is the lead climate bedwetting agency of the federal government, they admit there is no aspect of hurricanes that is outside the realm of natural variability. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's interesting because, no, I think people are drawing this false conclusion because they want to, number one, but there's not really the science behind it. I would say this. It's kind of interesting. I've listened to climate experts and ones that have advocated for climate change initiatives. And one of the interesting things I've heard them point out, and I agree with this side of it, is that when you hear about these storms and they try to compare them to things that happened in the past, and they'll say, wow, you know, this many more people were without power and this many more people were displaced and this much more dollar sign and damage got hurt. What they neglect to tell you is that part of that is we've overpopulated areas where storms tend to go. So when you jam more people into a smaller space, obviously, there's going to be more damage when a big storm comes through. It doesn't necessarily reflect on the size of the storm or the cause of the storm.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. The state of Florida, since 2005, has increased in population by 30%. And so that means, you know, 30% more people and 30% more of their, you know, crap, for lack of a better word, you know, and development, you know, that's all been crammed in there. So when these things hit, well, there's just more to destroy. I mean, we see this, the climate alarmists constantly trying to throw insurance statistics at us. You know, this is, you know, a record amount of insured damage. Well, of course, you know, we have more development. And if you adjust all these claims for, you know, GDP, for example, they all vanish. It's really a function of, as you said, the amount of stuff that's there. And you know, Milton is going to be a hugely expensive storm, and like Helene was in Asheville. I mean, look at all the development in Asheville. Asheville, you know, which was hit by Helene, has flooded before. But, you know, it was a much more, well, still kind of a rural area, but, you know, even less developed when it flooded before, I believe it was, you know, in the 1920s. And of course, now the damage is going to be much greater because there's just much more stuff to destroy.
Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick, and this is kind of a side note. You're part of former President Trump Pence's EPA transition team. Were you part of bringing Pruitt on to the administration?
Well, that was a political choice that, you know, Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma, put him up for President Trump, and President Trump, did that favor. What I did was I drew up the plans to reform how EPA does science.
Ah, I got you. Well, I was going to throw you a thank you in a way.
No, but you could...
You want me to do it anyway? Well, in St. Louis, they have this Westlake landfill, and, they jammed it with all of this nuclear waste back from the Manhattan Project, and it started to leak, which isn't great. And you have all these people getting rare cancers in this cold water creek. And forever, advocates have been trying to get administrations to do it. And it wasn't until Donald Trump and Pruitt took it seriously, they decided to try to fix that problem. So I was going to thank you, because so many people and politicians promised and never did anything. Finally, one person did it.
Josh Hawley is still trying to get that bill through Congress. I don't think it's been approved yet. Maybe that'll be something done in the lame duck session.
Hopefully. But, I thought they already appropriated, because they've been doing the studies for it. It takes a long time whenever you're talking about government studies. Either way, I wanted to bring this up, too. And Steve Malloy joining us. You can find him, junkscience.com. You're one of the founders there. But Siegel, a senior legal fellow with the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. Let me ask you this, just in general, when it comes to climate debates, and this always flares up when there's hurricane season, tornado season, big winter storm, big whatever, hot streak of, hot temperatures in any given place. Why is it that it's always these really radical people that bring up these radical claims that get the attention, and like that's what Congress wants to listen to? Oh, we need to listen to the wild, super fringe voices on how we handle this. But there's people that are, they study this, they acknowledge and they talk about climate change, and their way of looking and approaching it is very pragmatic, which is essentially saying we can just mitigate these things as opposed to throwing money at things that won't do anything. We're much better aligned to spend our tax money mitigating by building seawalls or adjusting this or doing that. Yeah. Put your money there. Don't give it into the hands of politicians that are going to give it to people that'll do nothing with it. Why aren't we more pragmatic when we talk about these things?
Well, you see, the climate agenda is not really about the climate. It's not really about the environment. There are different people involved in climate have different agendas. The American left has its leftist political agenda, which is government control of everything. And so if you look at climate, their solution is government control of everything, how we can use energy, what we can drive, where we should live, what kind of light bulbs we can have, all that. Okay, so there's that. Those people have their agenda. There's the wind and solar industry with, subsidized. They have now achieved critical mass, and they have enough lobby money to lobby politicians. So they, those guys own politicians and even red state politicians. And then you have, the foreigners, the Europeans. They want to cripple America with climate regulation. The Chinese want to also cripple America so that they can become the lone global sleeper. So everybody sees, something in it for climate, and it's unfortunate that conservatives haven't realized yet how climate is being used against our country.
I think a lot of people do recognize that.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. We talk about all of these different threats to the country, and in some ways, not being energy independent, being reliant on someone else in the whims of when they decide to, manipulate the markets is not a great position to be in. We were starting to move towards energy independence. We were building these pipelines. We were making it easier for us to keep up with production. But instead, we've diminished our natural oil reserve, which is very scary. I don't think it's ever been lower in my lifetime. And on top of that, we're not even moving towards energy independence. What we're essentially saying is we're going to force the hand into these different means of energy that don't have any long-term testing to it. We don't know if we can be sustained by it. Obviously, we can't, because we can't keep up with the demand for some of these other alternative energies. So we're putting ourselves into a corner, which is obviously going to drive the price up and make everything else cost more.
Yeah. So, both the Obama and the Biden administrations have destroyed just our energy sector. President Trump, during that 4 years, he was able to make us energy dominant. It was really an incredible feat where, we were in charge of the price of oil. But then as soon as Biden became president, he put OPEC back in charge. And I think, if President Trump wins next month, then he will his policies will once again put America in charge of the global price of oil, and also develop all our energy resources so that we're firing on all cylinders and doing what makes economic sense versus, you know, Obama, Biden, and that Biden Harris, you know, we're executing their political agenda, which is to, you know, increase government control of everything.
Can I ask you, you see these things online in, you know, weather manipulation machines or whatever it is that people bring up. Is that just Russian propaganda? What is that? Do you know, do you have an answer?
To be fair, the U.S. government has looked into weather modification before. From the 40s through the 70s, they, you know, were trying to figure out if they could destroy hurricanes. We've learned how to seed clouds and cause rain if we want. So, I mean, that kind of stuff has happened. The notion that's been floating around that, you know, Milton is a man-made storm, well, that's just false. I mean, you know, false in that the government did not create it, and neither did fossil fuel emissions. Milton is an act of God. We don't understand where it came from. It's a naturally occurring thing, and that's just the way it is. So man has no involvement in any of these things except to clean up and be prepared, or be prepared to then clean up. They're just acts of God, and you know people really should just you can't control what's on the internet. I don't know that you should, but you know it's good that you know people ask questions and knowledgeable people can offer their views.
Do you think, though, it's being used as a tool to, you know, like this is what they say, like, oh, it's got all that. I hate using the term Russian propaganda because it was used in such a sloppy and irresponsible way back in 2016. But do you really think that's possible? That's where some of this information is coming from, outside sources, you know, China or whatever?
Well, look, Russia and China have access to our media and our internet and social media. God knows, you know, who knows what they're doing. And our government has acted, you know, dishonestly enough that people are legitimately concerned about what it's doing. Can the government change the weather? Well, I mean, our government excels at tyranny, corruption, incompetence, and maybe warmongering they're good at. Can they control the weather? Hell no. Okay, I mean, that's not in their bag of tricks.
You know what I can tell you they do?
They can
lie to you, and you could see it with your own eyes what's going on, but the government will come out and flat out lie and say, no, you didn't see what you just saw.
That's how
they would manipulate it.
Right. They can do that kind of stuff. Can they actually accomplish something? No, it's just not possible.
Yeah, and you think about, they use that tactic in order to influence policy, where to send money, things like that.
Yes.
So that's the type of manipulation you
need to
worry
about. That's what we should be worried about, the lying. You know, going through COVID, it was the lying, right? The lying and the bullying and the tyranny shutting people down, you know, calling up social media companies saying, delete this guy, delete that post. That's nonsense. That's what we should be upset about. They can't control storms.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Steve Malloy, if people wanted to find you online, where can they go?
Well, best place, my website, junkscience.com, but also I'm very active on X at junkscience.
Perfect. All right. So the hurricane, people are still talking about weather, things like that. And there's a lot of junk science out there. What do you jump to next after people calm down with the hurricane stuff? Is there certain trends? You're like, well, we're getting towards the election, so I know this is going to come up. Can you have any?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Predictions of what's going to happen next?
Well, climate and energy is just going to be big for the foreseeable future because the left has just thrown everything they have into it. They're all invested in it, you know, from all the politicians to all the companies to all the universities. It's just they're all in. How do they ever back out of that? An emerging issue for me is also going to be all this food nonsense and the food scare that's going on right now. I don't know if I'm sure you have with Robert Kennedy. I thought all that had been debunked long ago. It's all coming back now. So I'll probably be spending a lot of time on that as well. But mostly what I do right now is climate energy.
Okay, so hold on. Let me make sure RFK Jr. stuff, if we're thinking about the same thing. Fluoride in the water, dyes in your children's food, that sort of thing you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, that kind of stuff.
What? I don't know. Because when it comes to the dyes and stuff, we try to stay away, red dye 40 and that. And we do see a behavioral change in our kids when we cut that stuff out.
Yeah, but it might just be the sugar.
Saying. I mean, the sugar, for
sure. So, look, let me just give you a quick example if you have time.
Yeah.
You got time? Okay,
oh, sure.
So there's a dye, Red 3, banned in California, supposedly because it causes cancer. Okay, so if you do the math, there's no evidence it's ever caused cancer in humans, just in laboratory rats. And if you do the math on how much red dye was fed the rats, a child would have to eat 186,000 red jelly beans a day.
Okay. Don't give them a challenge.
Now, I know you don't feed your kid that many red jelly beans.
So what we decided to do a long time ago was strap our children down and force feed them. What'd you say, 100,000 jelly beans?
186,000 a day.
186,000, yeah. So I guess we're under at 100,000.
Yeah. So look, I understand there's a lot of confusion about this stuff. And, you know, it's easy to scare people with, chemicals. And I went through this with the left, and now it's sort of disconcerting to me to see it popping up on the right. But so I'll be spending some time on that.
All right, Steve. You know what? I'm going to have to follow you for that, because I, for one, hear this sort of stuff, and I think, you know what? He's got something to that. I get it. I'm not basing it based on the way he looks, you know, out there with a shirt off or whatever. Hey, look at me. I'm healthy. I just base it on the observations of how my kids act when I give them some of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And there are some companies, we shop at Aldi and you go buy their cereal and they cut that stuff out. And it's like, that seems better.
Some kids just need to have the sugar limited, because you give them sugar and it's like mainlining something.
Isn't it better just to cut sugar out altogether, though?
Well, look. Everyone is different, and it depends on who you are, what you are, how much sugar you should eat. And always, kids ought to be eating nutritious food. Everyone has to eat a balanced diet. I like to say there's no good food, bad food. You got to look at the whole diet. If your diet is nothing but sugar, that's not good. Okay.
I like it. All right. So again,
as you get older. Yeah.
Oh, I get that, man. Things changed. After I hit 40, everything changed.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
So again, if people wanted to find you online, where can they go?
JunkScience.com and on X at JunkScience.
Perfect. See, Malloy, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you, Ryan. We really appreciate it.
Bye.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.